Hello and welcome to another episode of Thriller Podcast. I'm your host, Car Gonzalez. Today we're going to be discussing who is Satoshi Nakamoto. Where do we find him? We have one person who has come out and said that he is Satoshi Nakamoto. We're going to dive into that. We're also going to dive into Spider-Man news, and we have a new hardware wallet we want to discuss in Coin Talk. Thriller Podcast coming your way now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas. Via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. SegWit2x 10 days and counting.
It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Car Gonzalez.
So we got some news coming for Spider-Man. If you guys haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming, I recommend you watching it. It's fucking awesome. It just got announced. Spider-Man 2. Is coming out July 5th, 2019. How awesome is that? The Homecoming Blu-ray is actually coming out November 20th, and they have some pretty cool fucking features. Apparently, the Spider-Man that we saw in Homecoming wasn't actually Tom Holland, especially during some of the scenes. It was actually CG characters created by a company named ImageWorks, owned by Sony Pictures. Theo Blalock is the visual effects supervisor for Homecoming, and he goes in pretty in-depth, and I'm going to play that for you guys right now.
Marvel and Columbia had a clear vision for Spidey. In talking to the filmmakers, we realized that, to them, the heart of their story is Peter Parker, a regular, awkward teenager running around in a homemade suit.
Peter, you're young. You don't understand how the world works.
Our challenge became creating a photoreal, homemade suit and making sure that the audience would always believe it was Tom Holland underneath. Ironically, the thing that can make Spider-Man look most CG is all the iconic poses we associate with the comics. To be successful, we had to focus on adding human flaws to purposely dirty up the performance and not smooth it out. We didn't keep our Spidey perfectly posed or aligned with the camera. We focused on all of Tom's subtle gestures, being sometimes off balance or reflexively unsure. In trying to create a photorealistic performance of Tom Holland as Spider-Man, we, of course, had the benefit of the motion capture. There are certain things that you can't record, though. They're just too dangerous or just wouldn't be possible in a mocap stage. And in those instances, what we found most useful was to study things off camera, when a stunt went awry, when he lost balance, just the subtleties and nuances of that, things that you wouldn't think to animate by hand. Those were key to creating something that looked real. We did some tests to show that we could create a photoreal version of Peter that looked to move like a regular guy. The first time we presented a completely CG Peter Parker in his homemade suit, Tom and the filmmakers thought they were looking at real footage of a calisthenic session that Tom had filmed previously. They couldn't believe our test wasn't real, which is definitely the result we were going for.
Tom actually thought it was him, which, you know, you've done something right if the actor is not sure if the performance is digital or not.
Our goal was always to ensure that every stunt felt like it was really Tom in action. That creates a real sense of danger, and it makes those kind of sequences just that much more exciting.
Check out the rest of the article here at CNET.com. They have a nice little write-up regarding the release of the Blu-ray on November 20th for Homecoming. Now let's get into Tech Tip of the Day.
Cars. Of the day.
Today's tech tip of the day is actually a service, NordVPN. They have a very great offer right now. It's an exclusive 2-year plan for $3.29, billed every 24 months. That's killer. Some of the features that they have are access over to 1,000 servers worldwide, no logs policy, connect 6 devices at a time, ultra fast service for video streaming, Onion over VPN, double encryption. It has everything. It has apps available on Android and Apple and on Mac and Windows. What's great is they have over 1,400 servers in 61 countries, so you can literally live anywhere browsing the web. And it's very fast. I've used it. I recommend it. It's the best. So get over to NordVPN.com and sign up. They also take Bitcoin, which is a plus. Now it's time for our Coin Talk.
It is time for Coin Talk.
So, guys, it has been brought to my attention that some of the ICOs or coin offerings that I'm giving you guys advice on, I got an email from a particular person saying that I am pushing XLM and ADA coin and I'm getting paid for it. First off, everything that I say on the show is just advice, not financial advice. I'm not your financial planner. I'm just giving you facts, facts that I'm reading on the web. If I'm ever being paid by an ICO company or by any company for that matter, I will definitely let you know. Box Mining has come under fire as well. They just recently released a new video. He got a lot of shit because he was pushing an ICO on his YouTube channel. I frankly think that, you know, you had to make money any way you can. And if somebody's offering you a hefty pay to push their cryptocurrency, especially if it's an ICO, and you believe in it, and you think your viewers believe in it or would believe in it, then it's his decision to make. So here on Thriller Podcast, we're not getting paid by any ICOs. Even on the tech tips of the day, people think that we're getting paid for those. We're not. I will let you know the day that we are. If there's any particular product or any particular ICO or any type of advertising on the show, you will hear that from me first. I will literally say, hey guys, this is a promotion and we are getting paid for this. Moving on, let's get into coin market cap. So it looks like Bitcoin is at $74.91, just $9 shy of $7,500. This is right around where I thought we would be. I was hoping for $8, but we got to $75. Tomorrow it should be around $76, $77, around there, $7,700. All the altcoins are surprisingly still stable for the most part. Ether is at $297. We got Bitcoin Cash in third at $628. Let's look here at the BitConnect. BitConnect actually dropped down several spaces, down to 14. I wouldn't worry too much about that. It seems that CoinMarketCap has adjusted their volume price on BitConnect. So it went from like 16 million to down to 2 million. So that's where the rank is at. I wouldn't put too much thought into that just because BitConnect is directly connected to Bitcoin with the price and volume. If we look at the Bitcoin value ratio to the altcoins, we can see that OHM looks like it might be an ICO, is at 79%. We got Jetcoin at 60%. Oh, Greencoin is actually at 33%. It's trading at a tenth of a cent. Let's see here. UFO coin is actually up 33%. I was trying to get those guys on to the show, but they've declined my request. So we'll have to wait for those guys to try to see if we can get them on again in the future. So that's it for CoinMarketCap. I'm going to tell you guys about a new hardware wallet coming out. It's called the Trezor T, and this company has been around for quite a while making some hardware wallets. By the looks of it, it looks pretty nice. It has a touchscreen LCD interface. You can confirm sending from directly on there. And it looks like an old Tamagotchi game. I don't know if you guys remember those. They were like very feed your Tamagotchi and do all this kind of stuff. Kind of like Pokemon before there was Pokemon. Sorry, it was a throwback. But what's great about this new Trezor that's coming out, it actually comes with its own little interface, and it kind of reminds me of Exodus, but it looks more like a banking platform. It has your balance on there, your savings accounts, your checking accounts, and you can send and receive directly from the interface. So it's pretty cool. Anyways, pre-orders are right now on sale for 149 euros. They do take Bitcoin. Bummer is it doesn't come out until the end of January 2018. That's it for Coin Talk. Let's get into our main topic. The creator of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, is probably the world's most elusive billionaire. According to Medium.com, Alexander Muse is an entrepreneur, writer, and he has some pretty fucking bonkos claims. No, seriously, he has an article on Medium, how the NSA identified Satoshi Nakamoto. In the article, he says that the NSA took a bulk of emails and texts collected from their mass surveillance efforts brought to you by Prism and Muscular, the stuff that Ed Snowden basically, you know, released to the entire world. They were able to grab trillions of writings from more than a billion people in the same plane as Satoshi's writings to find his true identity. The effort took less than a month and resulted in a positive match. He says that everything that you type on the web, your searches, your posts on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, your blog posts, it all creates a digital signature of words. he says that your words are your fingerprint, and the sentence structure and word use is more unique than your own fingerprint. It's pretty unique to think that I've been on the web since 1996. So everything that I've ever typed on there, every search, every blog post, everything that I've ever created and posted online is all for the NSA to see, and it has a digital signature. It's pretty mind-blowing to think about. In the article, he goes on to say that many readers have asked him who Satoshi is, and he's made it clear from the onset that, based on the conversation that he's had with the NSA and Obama's administration, that they never confirmed that it might be more than one person. I've always heard from the beginning that it was four people that created Bitcoin. Sa was one, Toshi was two, Naka was three, Moto was four. To think that the NSA could have identified one person to being Satoshi Nakamoto, I don't quite believe it. I think they were able to probably to find one of the four, but I don't think they were able to find all four. Just my gut. So it has been said that Satoshi Nakamoto has approximately 5% of all Bitcoin. There's only 21 million in existence, and they will be reached by 2140. He controls a million of them, so he has the ability to flood the market at any point. According to Ben Yu, a Bitcoin investor living in San Francisco, if Bitcoin fulfills its role becoming a global currency, then Satoshi Nakamoto would ultimately be the richest person in the world. He holds a proportionally higher share of the ultimate supply of Bitcoin, something akin to what the U.S. government owns in gold supply today. And ultimately, that's what the United States government is scared about. They're afraid that he's a sleeping giant that can basically ruin the economy if he chooses to. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons they won't regulate it and they won't mass adopt it. Just because they're not sure where his motives lie. And it's all relative to the supply of Bitcoin. So they're afraid that it's a long con. If it is, it's a brilliant one, to say the least. The Gamer from Mars did a really good video on YouTube regarding the missing creator of Bitcoin, and I'm going to play it for you right here.
Since its inception in 2008, Bitcoin has become the most popular form of virtual currency in the world. It was first introduced to the Metz-Dowd cryptography mailing list, before being released as an open-source program in 2009. So you may be asking the basic question, what's the point of Bitcoin? Well, it's built off the concept of having your computer solve extremely difficult math equations to mine for money. This mining is usually done by computers with powerful graphics cards. The solution to these problems are the Bitcoins, which are represented by long hashes of random numbers and letters. It's worth noting that there is a cap of around 21 million Bitcoins to prevent oversupply and the devaluation of the currency. What many like about Bitcoin is that it was created with the intention of avoiding government or corporate involvement. Instead of a third party such as PayPal managing the money, it allows any two parties to simply transact directly. Because of this, when its inventor was still active on the project, he kept mostly to himself, stating that his identity served no value to the public. This has helped Bitcoin avoid scrutiny from the media, as they weren't able to confuse the creation and its creator. Eventually, in 2010, the founder of Bitcoin retired from the project without anyone knowing much about him or possibly her. So why all the secrecy? Well, according to some sources, back in the early days, it was not clear if creating Bitcoin was legal, so the creator went to great lengths to stay anonymous. The creator of this currency probably would have never been questioned if it stayed a small niche invention, but with Bitcoin's recent value skyrocketing, even surpassing an ounce of gold in March, it became much more important. To understand just how much this cryptocurrency has risen in value, if you had bought $1,000 worth of Bitcoin in early 2012 and held on to it until now, it would currently be worth $250,000.
There is a 12-minute segment on this missing creator of Bitcoin internet mysteries by the Gamer from Mars. Go check it out. It's on YouTube. Big shout out to him. So now I want to get into a guy named Craig Wright. He claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto. Check this out.
So you're going to show me that Satoshi Nakamoto is you?
Yes. Some people will believe, some people won't. And to tell you the truth, I don't really care.
But you can say, hand on heart to me, I am Satoshi Nakamoto.
I was the main part of it. Other people helped me.
Why did you feel, though, that you had to come out? And why did you feel you had to keep secret for so long?
I would prefer to be secret now. I don't think I should have to be out there. There's nothing owed to the world where I have to come out and say, I am X, I am Y. I mean, No one needs to do that. It is my right not to say I did something. If I release a paper that actually benefits people, why do I have to actually take credit for it? Why do I?
Wouldn't you be proud to be known as Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I have to bounce around in front of TV cameras.
You could say you've invented something amazing and that you'd want to say, I am the man who invented this.
I want to work. I want to keep doing what I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to do. And I don't work and invent and write papers and code by coming in front of TVs. I don't want money, I don't want fame, I don't want adoration. I just want to be left alone.
He says all that, but he's in front of TV, in front of cameras. So I don't understand that part. Funny enough, Gavin Andreessen explains why he thinks Craig Wright is the Bitcoin creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, at Consensus 2016. But the founder and creator of Ethereum, Vitalik Buterin, interjects with a pretty awesome smackdown. It's great. I'm going to play it for you here.
Block number one, the very first mined Bitcoin block on a computer that I'm convinced had not been tampered with, on software I'm convinced that had not been tampered with, a message of my choosing. And so that kind of sealed the deal for me, convincing me that he does have that private key. My interactions with him feel like this is the inventor of Bitcoin. I remind everybody he is human. I'm sure he makes mistakes like we all do. I'm sure he's made some mistakes in the past. And he wants his privacy. So I'm going to draw a line. If you ask me questions about this, I draw the line at, you know, I will explain why I'm convinced. I will not go into like personal details that of the discussion that I had with him.
Just to sow a bit of controversy for fun, I'll explain why I think he's probably not Satoshi.
Two minutes.
I mean, first of all, very, very simple signaling theory. He had the opportunity to take two different paths of proving proving that he's him. One path would have been to make that exact kind of proof, make a signature from the first Bitcoin block, put the signature out in public, make a very simple 10-line blog post that anyone, you know, including cryptographers like Dan Bonet and Ben Kaminsky and so forth can verify that it's him, and just post that out there and let the cryptographic community do it. Instead, he's taken this path where he's wrote this big, long blog post with 200 lines that's so confusing that even Dan Kaminsky said it's too confusing, and tried to only show that signature to a few select people, and we're supposed to trust them. So, in general, signaling theory says if you have a good way of proving something and a noisy way of proving something, and you choose the noisy way, then that means, you know, chances are it's because you couldn't do the good way in the first place.
So, yeah, that makes total sense. It's funny when you see somebody a lot more smarter and they explain why the reasons that he is not Satoshi Nakamoto. They always do learning exercises, which I think is great. They just know how to make you feel even more dumb when they do these learning exercises. It's awesome. So, anyways, that's it for this topic. I think we're going to be wondering who Satoshi Nakamoto is till the end of time. Satoshi Nakamoto will be the Carmen Sandiego of cryptography. Where in the world is Satoshi Nakamoto? The world may never know. Let's get on to the end of the show. You know, I love receiving mail from you guys. I really do. But what I love even better is being contacted via Twitter. So hit us up at Thriller Podcast on Twitter. If you guys want to take pictures and send them my way, feel free to at Instagram, at Car Gonzalez. And for all you snap people out there, the snap spectacles, hit us up on car-cons, search for it, and our website, thrillerpodcast.club. Want to support the show, go over to thrillerpodcast.club/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and become a part of the Thriller Army. You can donate $1 a month to get access to everything that we have to offer at Patreon. If you guys want to get into the mining game, join Genesis. go to thrillerpodcast.club/genesis and save 3%. If you guys just want to buy straight up Bitcoin, go to thrillerpodcast.club/coinbase. You'll get a free $10 of Bitcoin with your first purchase. That's awesome. If you guys want to get started with making some real money, go to thrillerpodcast.club/bitconnect. There you'll get an extra 3% on your first investment with BitConnect. Hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll see you next time on Thriller Podcast. We are out.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Thriller Podcast wants you to have a nice day. Remember to buy Bitcoin and save the world, one Satoshi at a time.